Hello and welcome to the Laid Back Japanese Podcast. In this episode, your hosts Chie and Nico talk about sampo, or walks. The vibes are pretty different from the US. Whether on a bike ride or a walk, you can end up at shrines, roads lined with cherry blossoms, and parks with 40 older people doing coordinated exercise? If you'd like to give yourself a challenge, go check out the Not So Laid Back Japanese Podcast, which talks about the same topic as this episode, but in all Japanese. Link in the description.
Did you go on a sampo today?
I go on a sampo every day. Usually go twice because we have a dog. So I strap my daughter to my chest. She's 13 months old. And then I walk my dog around the neighborhood. And it's really hot today. So it was a rough walk. It's a rough sampo for me. But yeah, I did go. How about you?
Yeah, I go on a sampo every day. Sampo is walking, just a stroll, I guess. Yeah, Caleb and I have a route that we go around the neighborhood that we try to take every single day, actually. It's about 30 minutes とかかな? It's like about 30 minutes walk around the block.
I remember when I learned the word sampo in maybe a textbook or something, and then not that long later, I learned the word sansaku, which is also says a walk or like a stroll is the English meaning. And I was very stressed out that I didn't know which one is the correct, the one that I should say. And I got a native speaker to try and explain it. And they're like, if you're going for a sampo, the main thing is the walking. And if you're going for a sansaku, the main thing is what you're looking around at. And then I thought that I understood it after that until I lived in Japan for a while and realized that no one says sansaku ever. That I know.
Yeah, I don't actually remember the last time I heard that word.
No one says that. So I don't know what my teacher or whoever it was talking about. That's all they should have told me is like, just say sampo and don't even worry about the other one.
Sansoku? Kanji wa?
You're going to kanji quiz me right now.
Kanji quiz go.
I could read it if I see it. Sansoku. This is fun. This guy right here. Walking, strolling. It's like the bamboo and then below it is like the tree with the little market. Yatsu.
Ensoku. I thought like maybe you were trying to say ensoku, but
no.
Ensoku is a thing.
That's a thing.
Where your kids go to school and then you get to go on an ensoku, which is you go outside of your school to go to a particular park or wherever your destination is, and then you take a obento with you, and then you have a sheet that you sprawl out and you eat your bento with all your friends. It usually happens maybe once a year or something, and then everyone's praying on their teriteri bozu that it's not going to rain that day. That's an ensoku.
You need to stop throwing in these words that people don't know. Okay, so at least when I grew up in California, you go on a field trip for school, and it's a field trip. Like maybe you go to a museum, maybe you go to Knott's Berry Farm, I don't know, but I feel like you just call it a field trip. But there's two different types in Japan.
Field trips are a little bit different from ensokus, but ensoku is a subcategory of field trips, I think.
Yeah, so Rei and I have had a lot of miscommunication before about this because I'll just use the word field trip and she doesn't know if I'm talking about what's the word of the one, like if you're going to a museum or something in Japan. It's not ensoku, it's like...
修学旅行とか?
Yeah, no, that's like a trip, isn't it? Like, I just don't remember the word.
日帰り旅行,
it's kind of like guy something. I don't know. She's gonna get mad at me for not remembering.
Oh no.
But you know, so I do go on sampo every day here in where I'm staying in Southern California at the moment. But it's just sampo just hits different in Japan.
I feel like walking in America feels like saying the word walking, versus in Japan, a sampo feels like sampo.
Yeah, because when you go for a walk in America, first of all, you might get hit by a car or something.
Or wait for a really long signal or something, I don't know.
Yeah, and you go more than two blocks and suddenly you're on like a highway and there's cars going by at 50 miles an hour and it's very loud. It's just not sampo to me. Whereas in Japan, at least, so I can't say Japan, because at least in Tokyo, where I spend most of my time, it's like the small streets and the alleys. There are more people walking than there are cars most of the time. So it's different.
Yeah, I agree with you. Also, in the places I have lived in Japan, if you go outside, go on a sampo, you can turn in all sorts of ways because all the streets are connected to every single street, I feel like. And so you can take a wrong turn, but still, you know, find your way home eventually, and you can find your new favorite spot on your walk that you go on a random day.
And your favorite route to different locations also.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big. Too.
Or like we used to walk to Space's office in Fukuoka when we had an office there. And there were two main routes that we would take. And one was more of a sample feeling. And the other one was more of a walk feeling, where it was more on a main road, taking, you know, you directly there.
It's just, yeah. And walking to work is just wonderful, by the way. But I know what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I used to work in Tokyo, I had my days off were Monday, Tuesday, and almost none of my friends had Monday, Tuesday days off. So as a result, I was by myself on my days off. And I used to just go for walks pretty much every single day off. That's like the thing I would do. And then hopefully in the evening, I can meet up with friends or something. And I remember once I met up with friends for a party on like some Monday night. And that day, I was super tired because that day I had walked from where I lived, which was Shimokitazawa, which is like southwest Tokyo. And I had walked all the way to Odaiba, which is very far if you know your geography. So if I went over to like Shimokitazawa on this map right here,
you can put in walking distance.
Yeah, we'll find out how it's. I think it's pretty ridiculously far for like a stroll. We're gonna switch that up and go to Odaiba.
It's not a stroll.
It's not. We're gonna go walking.
Yeah.
It's 17.5 kilometers. And I wasn't even really knowing where I was going. So I probably walked a lot further than that. Yeah, I was walking for like 6 hours and it was very exhausting, but I loved it.
You should take the train home at least.
I did take the train home. Are you kidding? I was going to be late for this party because I had spent too much time walking and I had to go home and like take a shower and, you know, not be like this grungy person walking across Tokyo by himself all day. Man. And anyway, if you do go to Odaiba, it's worth mentioning that it's possible to walk across Rainbow Bridge, which is the bridge that goes over, it's like right here somewhere. Oh, down here. Yeah. So I didn't even walk this route that they're giving us because I would have gone like this way over the bridge. Oh, see, that's 14 kilometers. It's a little better.
Okay.
And I was kind of scared walking across Rainbow Bridge. They call it Rainbow Bridge and you imagine this sweet bridge from like Mario Kart or something. It's not like that at all. Yeah. It's just your average bridge, but they happen to have lights on it at night. That's why they call it Rainbow Bridge.
Yes, it does look very sweet at night.
Yeah, but it goes pretty... It doesn't look like that scary in this photo. It just looks like your average bridge. But the walking path is sort of on the side here, off to the side of the highway. And it's very loud. And it feels like you're really high up. And I was kind of scared to walk across it.
Are there stairs that come on the sides up to the actual bridge? Or is it more like... the sidewalk just continues.
There is an elevator to go up to walk across it. So it's a very strange situation.
You're on a walk and then you go on an elevator.
Yeah, it's like this. Yeah, I don't think they're going to have any pictures of the elevator.
Wow, that looks kind of scary.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then you can see like these trains going. This is I think it's Tokyo Monorail right there. That one that goes in the big circle, which you can also ride Tokyo Monorail to Odaiba. But that's probably the longest walk I've ever been on. And I can't say that I'd recommend walking across Rainbow Bridge, but if you do, good for you. I don't know. I just want to mention the fact that I did it.
Wait, okay. Long as sampo, have you walked purposely to somewhere that wasn't a sampo?
Have I? Maybe.
I don't know.
Probably.
Sampo dattara, yeah, I think so. Like 4 hours might be the longest.
That's like max fun. Yeah. Amount of walking.
Yeah. After that, I'm like, okay, we're done. Take the train home.
If you get longer than 4 hours, it's starting to turn into a job. Have you been on any particularly memorable walks in Japan? Any sampo that you remember?
When we briefly lived in Tokyo, in the Otaku area, I used to go on runs in the mornings. I would run one way and kind of walk back and jog, kind of, you know, sampo-ish. Yeah, yeah. Back, and I found this shrine. Okay, so most of the part in Otaku was flat, but I ended up in this like hilly part of Otaku, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go climb this hilly part. Going up this hill, and then all of a sudden there's stairs that are pretty much 90 degrees upward that are like ancient stones, and it leads up to this really cool shrine. Just randomly found it in the middle of the city with trees, a whole bunch of trees around it and stuff, and that was my favorite walk.
But that was not Hommonji?
It wasn't the big one. It was a tiny shrine.
Okay. I think I've been there. It's but really I don't. Cool. I also sort of stumbled upon it when I was doing a walk. I wasn't running in the same area. And you do. I had the same thing happen to me. I was like, what are those stairs doing? Like, what is this mysterious stairs?
I don't even know if you can fit a whole foot on one of these steps, but it's pretty much 9 degrees just straight up into a shrine place.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to find it, but I think that we've been to the same place now that you mentioned that.
Yeah, that was really cool. I guess it's not my favorite walk because it happened on multiple occasions, but my favorite route when we were living in Fukuoka was either going around, what is it, Sanno Koen. It was the koen right in front of our house. It's about a 10-minute just circle. And then the other one was going on the sampo side of going to the eki.
Wow.
That one was my favorite. Yeah. It's so nice.
I think at the beginning, we're talking about sampo, like it's just it's like this go for a walk, enjoyable thing. But I do find that the routes that I was following for a specific purpose seem to be the most memorable to me later on. Like you mentioned that one, and it reminded me of a bunch that I've done. Like when I used to, speaking of Shimokitazawa, since I was talking about that a second ago, so I used to live like around here somewhere. Wow, it's been a very long time. I think I was to the south a bit, like over in this area, go like this. I used to walk to work in Nakameguro every Wednesday. And it's kind of a strange walk in that I didn't know it was possible because normally I would base like a walk on something such as a train line. But in this case, there's no train line connecting these two locations. So it seemed very odd to me that it was possible. But if you do that walk, there's a little path that you end up following. I think it's this little path right here. It's like a little river right here. There's a park. Like this is a park. And it's this little path that I would walk on. And as you can see in spring, there'd be cherry blossoms. And while that's very pleasant and looks nice, what I loved was at the end of work, because I was teaching English, so I worked from something like 3 or 4 in the afternoon until 10 or 11 at night because people take English lessons after work. So I used to walk home on this path at night. And it just so happens that Nakameguro is famous for yozakura, so nighttime cherry blossom viewing. And as a result, see, like there's this canal here and there's cherry blossoms along the sides of it. And it gets really crowded if you go when it's very popular. But at 11 p.m. at night or so, there's pretty much no one there. And it was quite a magical walk home from work. And sometimes they would wait outside my office for me to get done, my school. And then we would walk to Shimokitazawa together at 11 at night next to the canal under the cherry blossoms. And maybe there weren't cherry blossoms at that time of year, but you know what I mean. It was
Wow.
Intense memory for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I feel like something like a Sakura Dori exists in most like bigger locations or cities. Like Kumamoto had a Sakura Dori that was called Sakura Dori that had planted Sakura trees on both sides of the street. Or like the Sanno Koen was, it labeled all of its trees and different types of Sakura trees that they purposely planted there. And there were several different types of Sakura trees that they had. So that was also really cool. But I feel like they purposely placed these trees alongside the streets. And then, like you mentioned, the Nakameguro, the Yozakura one. I've always wanted to go there. We're going to miss it this year because we're going to be too late. Yeah, someday. Someday we'll make it.
If I had a recommendation for if you, it is really beautiful, but I think it's better if you go, like I said, at like 10 or 11 at night. Because, which most people are going to think that's crazy. But you see these pictures people have taken where there's a lot of lights. It's because they have like a sort of little festival where people come to see them. And there's little yatai, like stands. The yatai is like a stand or a stall where they sell food or drinks or whatever. But it's so crowded that it's borderline miserable if you go then. Whereas it's just beautiful if there's no one there. And there is no one there if you're doing the times that I would pass it, which is, for example, at 8 or 9 in the morning when I would go on a run. I would run to where my work is and then run back home. And then later I'd be going there for work or late at night. And yeah, and then later on when there's Sakura Fubuki, like blizzard of petals, and the petals start falling, this river just becomes like a sea of cherry blossom petals. Yes. It's quite beautiful. So yeah, recommended walk right there.
Yeah. With the planting purpose trees too, I feel like they usually do a good job of planting seasonal trees in populated areas. Like they'll plant the Icho no Ki, for example, which is more of a fall colored trees alongside roads, or they'll have, you know, sakuras and stuff like that. So I feel like a lot of the streets, you can kind of experience the season as the year is passing by, or they'll, you know, plant specific flowers in the katana and stuff and coins.
What's Icho no Ki?
Icho is like ginkgo.
Oh, like the ones you
it's
see
the yellow
in
leaves.
Yeah, that one.
Icho.
I know the ginkgo tree. Yeah, ginkgo tree. There's that super famous one at the shrine in Kyoto.
Mm-hmm.
That's monstrous. I forget. Like, yeah, there's these monster trees.
めちゃくちゃ綺麗だよ. That color of yellow is just so pretty to me. I don't know.
It's beautiful. And then there's those, what are the ones that cause hay fever? Is it like the cedar trees or something? Like, no, there's the trees that give everyone allergies in Tokyo. I don't know what they're called.
Tokyo? 何でしょう? You'd have to ask me.
Speaking of walks, although we're talking about runs now, I mentioned in an earlier episode that I used to live over by here, by Kitasando Eki. And over in this area, there's Meijijingu Gaien, which is this big park and stuff. And, oh yeah, okay, so I'm thinking of the tree that you were talking about, because this is called, look, Icho, and then I don't know how to read that one. It's Narabigi. Narabigi. Jingu Gaien Ginkgo Avenue.
There you go, yeah. They have a
see
whole
these trees?
Street dedicated to this tree.
Yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
I used to run by this, like, every morning when I'd go for my run. Hey, look, they have Icho Matsuri. That's cool. And coincidentally, this is one of the first places I ever saw a large group of people doing Rajio Taiso. There's an area over here somewhere. And I was just going for a morning run at like 7 in the morning, not really thinking. And I turned a corner and there's like 40 old people doing the Rajio Taiso. And it was oddly awkward because they were all looking at me like, this foreigner probably thinks that we're weird. But I knew what they were doing because I had heard of it before and I'd seen it on TV. So I didn't think it was weird, right, really. Right. But they were kind of like looking shy toward me, shyly at me. And I wanted to be like, hey, man, it's cool. But I just kept going on my run.
Oh, you should join them.
No.
I guess you wouldn't have known the moves.
Oh, wait. So you went to elementary school. So you guys probably did it, huh?
Yattayo. Rajio Taiso. Okay. So my grandparents' company does it for the company before they start working. So that's probably the first exposure, and or on TV, the one that you just pulled up. They also play it at, I can't remember, like 5 or 6. It'll just show up on TV. You can watch it and follow along. I don't know if I did it in Yochien, kindergarten, but definitely in elementary school.
I love how the dictionary calls it radio calisthenics. It's like,
yep.
I mean, I guess that's what it is. But
it's
I've never
more
heard
like
someone
stretching
say that.
And making your blood flow. It's not really a workout.
But I've heard it's pretty tiring. Is it not? I've never done it.
It's like kind of like jogging in place kind of thing but not really. It's not even that intense. You just fling your body and stretch a little bit and yeah, stretch your muscles a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just turn on your TV early in the morning and you'll probably find it playing somewhere.
Yeah. And there's definitely the sitting versions on there too. They'll do.
Yeah, that's why they have like this one person sitting in the middle.
See? Yep. They'll count for you and tell you what to do next.
I've heard some of my Japanese friends get very offended when a non-Japanese person says it's not really exercise.
Oh, shoot. Am I included in
that? I've known some of my friends to be very defensive about it and say it's actually the best possible exercise for your body in the morning. I just stay out of the argument altogether if possible.
I don't know if this is the best thing, but I think that it does help you kind of wake up and get your blood flowing and your body working. I think it's kind of nice and pleasant. I don't think it's intense, but you know, maybe I will think that when I'm older.
All right, so I have a quiz for you. It's not a quiz, but a question.
Hi.
It's Sunday morning and you have no plans and you want to get out in the sun and enjoy the beautiful weather for a minute. Are you going to go with sampo or chari?
This is a quiz? There's a correct answer?
I mean, no, that's why I said it's not a quiz. It's just, I'm trying to get your opinion. And there is, you will be graded.
It depends on if I want to reach a destination specifically, that is further than just walking. So for me, where I was living in Fukuoka, I would have just gone on a sampo outside walking and just went across the street to my favorite koen, which was the Sanno koen, and bathed in the sun on the grass. If I did want to go to somewhere specific, but also enjoy the sun getting there, I would hop on the chari and probably go to Ohuri Koen, which was a little bit further, maybe like a 15-20 minute bike ride maybe.
Also pretty far then.
Yeah, That one was in the middle of the city, just city buildings, whole, you know, big city vibe feeling. There's a huge lake. I don't actually know if it's natural, but there's a huge lake and then a sampo route all the way along it. And then there's some shops, coffee places on the outside. But yeah, that's what I would do.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I spent all these years in Japan and I didn't actually own a bike until the last time we lived there. So I probably spent 5 years in Japan without ever owning a bike. And I'm not going to say I regret it because I did go on a lot of awesome sampo. But once I got a bike, I was pretty excited about riding my bike places. And yeah. I got to say, like, I love the mamachari.
Mamachari to wa? Let's talk about mamachari in great depths.
Yeah. So mama is mother, mom, mama. And then chari is short for charinko, which is a bike. And so mamachari is one of these bikes where there's a car seat for a kid on the front. And it's a bike, but it's got like a seat to put a baby or a child in the front. And sometimes one in the back for a bigger kid. And I don't know why when I type mamachari, it's not showing me mamachari. That's so weird.
No, that is mamachari. So, okay. I was going to add to that. Mamachari is just the fact that it has a basket in the front and the bar in the middle is lower. So if you're wearing a skirt or something, you don't have to kick your leg up. And then when you're a mom or a dad and you want to mount these things that Nico was just talking about, the child seats on your mamachari, then it becomes a vehicle of transportation with your children.
Wow, I didn't even know that. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mamachari is just a category of those charis that showed up with. Yeah, it has to specifically have the kago in front so you can go shopping. And then it has that lower bar in the middle.
Nice. So mine had just is like this one, but the basket was in the back. So I had the child seat in the front because our kid was still like 6 months old when we got this bike, 7 months old. Mm. And the back was the basket. And it was denjari. So it was electric and it was just wonderful to go for a ride. I had my son in the front and he's like looking like he's a biker because he's got these to hold on these handlebars. And we would just go and go get some groceries or go take him to his grandma's. And it was just a wonderful little bike ride every time.
Yeah, my dad used to actually have a trailer thing that attached to the bike. So he had a mountain bike, not a mamachari. Also, in Japanese, it's called jitensha. And then if you say bike, it means motorcycle. Just side note. But my dad used to have a mountain bike, which is a mountain bicycle. And then he had a trailer thing. And my sister and I would be in the back, just luxuriously chilling in the back seat of his trailer. And it was kind of one of those covered dome tent fabric kind of style.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can either have like the breeze coming through, you know, open the plastic part and have all the wind in your face or not. And there's like a windbreaker and rainbreaker and stuff on it too. And it was heavy duty.
That sounds sort of inaka to me.
Really?
Well, I mean, we were living in Kamata and there's no way you could have a trailer because you'd have nowhere to park your bike.
That's true. It was more for because my dad really liked biking and he would like going long distances, but you can't take your children on a really long bike ride. They'll just get tired. So he had a trailer for us to go into and then we would go somewhere and then get out and do something and then go back home. It was fun.
It sounds awesome. Yeah, I said inaka, by the way, which means like countryside or not city. Like rural area.
Yeah. I am from Inaka.
So Rei grew up in the center of Tokyo and she'll call places Inaka that I never ever would have thought to call Inaka because I grew up in the US.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, wow, this place is Inaka. And I'll be like, this is for real a city with like, looks, I think it's like 300,000 people living here probably.
I agree with that. I feel like people from Tokyo will call Fukuoka or Hakata or something Inaka because it was just less going on, less buildings. I don't know, the in between the buildings are slightly bigger.
Yeah It's just they Inaka. Will
yeah
remember watching a TV show one or like an anime or something and the girl was walking on the rails of the train track and then they was like wow Inaka like just the idea of walking on a train track and I was thinking like well is it I don't know it surprised me when she said that.
I think the train track thing for sure is not a city thing to do. to walk on train tracks, because I feel like it's just more busy and there's more trains, and there's also usually they have posts on both sides and please don't enter.
Yeah, and it's like physically impossible to walk on the train track unless
unless
you go past like a gated area, and it's very obvious when you do it that it's you're doing something illegal.
And then Inaka is like, nope, just open, everything's open,
go do your thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I still love riding the bike, and now I'm kind of wondering if I love it as much. But I think when you live in the center of Tokyo, the downside for sure is that sometimes parking it is not fun, and it costs money to park your bike somewhere.
In the city?
Yeah. Many a time I've walked somewhere that I didn't feel like walking because I couldn't be bothered with figuring out where to park my bike.
I have, yes, encountered that in Fukuoka specifically. Or if we were in Kumamoto and I was meeting up with a friend, they would say, hey, biking parking was hard to find.
Yeah.
That's and the thing.
People will buy like monthly passes. Yeah. To park their bike in certain places. Mm-hmm. And to give an example, over here, like if you cross under this, not under the bridge, but under this area, you pass the college and like you can go under the train tracks right here. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to drop my little Google guy right here. Even like see these bikes parked along this riverside? Mm. Those people are paying money every month to park here. See, that's a zone one. Zone one is more expensive because it's closer to the station. And if you go, and it's not cheap either. Like these people are paying, I don't know, like $50 per month, maybe more. I'm not sure the prices are written on here. Just so they can park their bike here. And it's not that close to the station. It's still like a 3-4 minute walk from here to even get to the station.
But I would guess that the train station is more expensive, right? And or it, you can't get passes.
Yeah, it gets filled up is an issue.
Yeah.
Because if I went over to the station down here, this is, I get super turned around doing like this. Yeah, see the bike parking is this thing right here. It says P. East entrance bike locker is what it says. This building is actually a place to park your bike. See? And here's the roof.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll have these bike elevators or bike mounters so that they can put in layers on the ground like floor.
You can see them right there. They have the two layered things. So they can have bikes above other bikes. And they also have like a conveyor belt beside the stairs to help you push your bike up to the top floor.
Bike elevator.
So if you're going to have a mamachari with the kid seat on it, that's also an electric bike like I had, denchari, then the downside is that the bike is super heavy. And if you go to one of these places because you live in a busy area and most of the biking, I mean, the parking spots are full, you might be trying to put your bike up on top of one of these things or something. And it's just not very pleasant. Although sometimes they have special parking for the mamas, which the mamas, even, I'm talking about myself. And then you can park it like in a convenient area. But they tend to only let you do that if you have the kid with you, I've noticed.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. Or I mean, if your bike is too big to go on the racks, they'll tell you where to park it.
Yeah, they'll have directors standing there for busy hours too.
Yeah, and these cost money, obviously. I think it's like 200 yen, like 200 yen or something for a few hours. I forget.
It's free for the first hour or something, just like car parking. But yeah, it just depends.
Yeah, I can't remember if this one in particular had that. I think this one costs money. And there are free places to park, but it's like you pay for it with stress.
Is it going to be here when I come back?
Yeah, the other side of the station, like if I drop this guy over here. You see, like you can park your bike along here, but at busy hours, there's literally not a single spot to park your bike. And these signs on the wall somewhere, they'll say like, it's not first come, first serve. So just take any spot when it opens. Because it's such a long stretch of spots that it's very difficult to create a line somewhere, which increased my stress a lot about like finding a spot, because you ride to one end and then there's no spots and you ride back to the other and someone got a spot while you're gone and you think, oh, I'm just gonna wait here, and then you see way down the line someone's leaving and you're like, oh, should I go try to get that spot? And if you do try, someone else is gonna get it before you, and then someone will have gotten a spot behind you where you were just now. So I would try very hard to just not just stop the bike somewhere and just not worry about how long it took to get a spot.
That sounds really stressful.
Yeah, but it's free. But there's a time limit, though. And there's like these security guards walking up and down that'll scold you. See this guy right here? He's getting ready to scold you for parking for too long in this area.
Yeah.